The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that helps you make sense of things that would otherwise baffle you. Like, for example, why does that one shoe hide in the back of the closet like that? Is it afraid of you, or does it just need some alone time? Or maybe it's ashamed of something. Something terrible that only a shoe would be ashamed of. The answers to these and other questions right here, right now on the Eric Metaxas Show. And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Thank you so much, Todd. We're going to get to that shoe question at another time. Today, folks, we're going to get very serious. Oh, we're going to get serious. I'm sitting here in the studio with a media veteran, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Welcome to the program. I don't know how to introduce you because you've done so many things. You're the senior producer at Dr. James Kennedy's Ministries. Mm-hmm. You make films. You write books. You care about America. You care about faith. And you have a book, which I want to talk to you about principally today, called American Amnesia. First question, what do you mean by that?
I mean that we as a nation have forgotten God. But our Declaration of Independence, which is our national birth certificate, says that our rights come from God. Reagan once said, America needs God much more than God needs America.
Reagan said that?
Yes. And
I've never heard that. That's a beautiful quote.
Yeah, and he said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we'll be one nation gone under.
Reagan said that. I've never... What a great quote.
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard of everything, Jerry. No, that's really terrific. Yeah. If we're not one nation under God, we will be one nation that's gone under. Well, look, anybody who knows me knows I agree with these sentiments because they're true, not because I like them to be true, but it's inevitable. And so when you say that the subtitle for your book, American Amnesia, is America paying the price for forgetting God, the source of our liberty? So there are a lot of people out there, maybe libertarians in particular, who would say, look, I believe in liberty. I'm not sure that it needs to be connected to the God of the Bible. That seems like an add-on if you want it. But people like you and me would say, no, there is no way to have one without the other. So exactly. In the course of the book, what do you have to say on that subject? I mean, we are a nation that, to some large extent, in fact, has forgotten God and is losing our freedom because of it.
Sure.
So, but what do you have to say on that subject?
Well, let me say this. First of all, we have a rich Christian heritage, and it's something that we are the beneficiaries of. And if you look at the settlers of America and then also the founders of America, the settlers starting in 1607 with Jamestown, but then especially the pilgrims who founded Plymouth in 1620, we are the beneficiaries of the ideas that they got from the Bible that they put into practice to this very day. For example, The Constitution is our governing document. Theoretically, it is what governs this country to this day. Well, when the Founding Fathers sat down in Philadelphia in 1787, initially to revise the Articles of Confederation, which weren't working, and then they said, let's start all over again. So they start all over again. They produced the Constitution. And when they did that, they had about 150 years, if you will, of Constitution making from the settlers, beginning especially with the Pilgrims, who in the Mayflower Compact, they were blown off course. They were going to the northern parts of Virginia, which at the time was around here, New York City. And they recognized that some of the people on board might, when they disembarked, they might go off on their own, and they had to bind each other together. So they used the biblical concept of covenant, and they wrote the Mayflower Compact. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, having undertaken a voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, do covenant and combine ourselves into a civil body politic. This was the beginning of the creation, in a sense, of the two key founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of America. And there's about 100 documents in between those, including the one in Connecticut that play, you know, that paved the way to the U.S. Constitution.
And which one in Connecticut? Excuse me, if this is my wife, I have to tell her I'm doing a radio show. I told you to turn your phone off. We're trying to do a show here.
Sorry about that.
No, what I find funny, actually, is that when you say Connecticut, talk to me about that, because I have something I want to ask you about.
Yeah, well, have you ever noticed, what is the slogan of the license plates from Connecticut?
It's
the Constitution State.
Constitution State, the Charter Oak.
And where was the Constitution written?
Philadelphia. Yes.
So how does that work?
Yes.
The answer is, in 1638, when the Reverend Hooker brought all these Christians, Puritans, from Massachusetts into this new colony that they created in Connecticut, he preached a sermon under a big tree. That tree, by the way, was destroyed in the 1800s by a big storm.
The Charter Oak.
And here's the bottom line. In 1639, they took his sermon and they wrote up something called the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, which is the first fully blown, developed constitution on American soil, and is in lineal descent, they say, or ascent, I guess, of the U.S. Constitution.
See, now this stuff, and, you know, when you get down into these weeds, a lot of people's eyes glaze over because it's sort of complicated. What you're basically saying, though, is that we didn't just come up with the Constitution out of nothing.
Right.
In other words, the Constitution had, as you just said, over 100 years of development, of a people being prepared for self-government. You know, when you bring up the situation in Connecticut, I was just recently remembering, because I'm writing the story of my life right now, and I remember in fifth grade when we moved to Danbury, Connecticut.
Oh.
Yeah, Danbury's famous for
Danbury Baptist, for
the 1802 letter, you know, that the new President Jefferson wrote. So, but in 1687, there was an event that when I was in fifth grade, we put on a play, and it was about what you're talking about. It was the Charter Oak. In other words, Connecticut had been given by the king tremendous powers based on what you're saying. We had a kind of freedom and self-government that's obviously a, you know, proto-liberty, not quite liberty that we had in 1776. But they decided, the crown decides to rescind it in the 1680s, and they send over the hated Sir Edmund Andros to revoke the charter.
Yeah.
And they hid the charter in the oak tree, the famous Charter Oak Tree, which was it was there from the 12th century, and it was blown down, you just said, in about 1856 or something like that. But there's this rich history.
Yeah.
This is just Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
All of the colonies have parts of this story, and I just find it so beautiful that it, you know, even if you want to look at liberty before the Revolution and before the Constitution, we were a people being prepared for self-government.
That's exactly right. And in fact, that Fundamental Orders of Connecticut that I mentioned, that you're talking about, it actually mentions how the reason we even started this colony is for the purity and liberty of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That's what they say. And that's what so many of these different charters say. And by the way, in the Declaration of Independence, when Thomas Jefferson, the first chief author
yes,
of it,
yes.
One of the things he does, he lists about 28, I believe it's 28, like a long laundry list of all these bad things that George III has done. And one of them is he's revoked our charters. The whole reason
yeah.
we even came here, the
right.
reason our ancestors came to this land
right.
and sacrificed so much, King George III has capriciously just revoked
well, see,
these
this
things.
Is what I'm saying. This is history that I now am learning for the first time, right? I mean,
yeah.
In fifth grade, I got a piece of this. But all these years, I've not heard anything about this. The idea that we came here, many came here with a very clearly, specifically Christian vision. It's
yeah.
undeniable.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Christian, and you don't have to like it, but this is undeniable. And that
it's
we were
true,
given
true.
These charters, and that eventually part of the reason King George III became so hated is because he was in the process of revoking these liberties. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to Jerry Newcomb. American Amnesia is the title of the book. Very important. Stick around.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dinovite for help.
Dinovite.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dinovite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dinovite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dinovite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
For high school students who want to make the very most of their summer, there's the Summer Academy at the King's College, a premier Christian liberal arts college in New York City. This summer, join dozens of inquisitive high schoolers to study the ideas that shape civilizations. Choose from tracks like journalism, philosophy, economics, leadership, and visual storytelling, all taught from a biblical worldview. Learn more at tkc.edu/summeracademy. That's tkc.edu/summeracademy.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas here. You all know how much I love MyPillow, and now Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. This is not a joke. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on these sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, and use promo code ERIC or METAXAS to get 30% off plus free shipping, or go to MyPillow.com, but be sure to use the code ERIC or METAXAS, MyPillow.com.
Have you ever thought about getting out of your timeshare? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are an unhappy timeshare owner, getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list. And with those annual maintenance fees hitting you hard in the pocketbook, you probably wish you had a way to get out of that burdensome and expensive timeshare. Thankfully, we can help. Give us a call and let us do what we've done for over 8,000 8,000 others. Our process is done legally and ethically, and best of all, quickly as possible. Lone Star Transfer is a family-owned business with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let this be your lasting legacy. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I have the joy, the fun, the honor of talking to Jerry Newcomb, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, who's the author of another book, American Amnesia. Is America Paying the Price for Forgetting God, the Source of Our Liberty? I can answer that question. Yes. You've also written, I did not realize that you were the co-author with Dr. Peter Lilleback of Washington's Sacred Fire. I don't know how I missed that, but that's another important book. You're doing a lot of important work as an historian and as a writer, reestablishing the basics. It doesn't matter if people agree with it. It's just facts. This is just history.
Thank you. That's a high compliment.
It's true.
The thing about George Washington's Sacred Fire, Dr. Lilleback has done research on George Washington and his faith for about 25 years. And when we combined together to produce that book, we, you know, basically I helped him to kind of get it done. But he had had it on his heart. But one thing I'll mention real fast, there's 9 or 10 appendices in that book, and the second one is very interesting. It's a big, thick book, as you may know.
Yeah.
And the second appendix is all about George Washington and the Bible. And one of these scholars that says George Washington wasn't a Christian said George Washington never quoted the Bible. And Dr. Lilleback said either that man is lying or he just doesn't know the Bible. And so we have this chart that he created, Dr. Lilleback, of all these different quotes from the Bible that are found in George Washington's public and private correspondences, speeches. And it's just, it's amazing. It's almost as if you cut the man that is George Washington, he would have bled Scripture. And he was a big reader of the Book of Common Prayer, 1662 version, which is very orthodox.
Well, see, this is the thing, that we cannot deny history. In other words, you don't have to agree with it.
Right.
People don't have to like it. But the idea that people can pretend, this is, you know, Stalin and others of that ilk can airbrush out the things that don't like. But the rest of us ought never to do that. And we have to be honest about our warts and about the things that are great. And this country is undeniably founded by Christians on Christian principles. Now, I always say it doesn't make us an overtly, explicitly Christian nation. In fact, our strength comes from our religious liberty, that it's not coerced by the state.
Exactly.
But when I hear you talk even about the Connecticut Charter and about these things, most of us, overwhelmingly, we're not taught these things in school.
I wasn't either.
We act as though, you know, the founders just kind of, you know, it's like they popped out of the head of Zeus. You know, there's no antecedent,
right.
And here they were. But there's a great tradition leading up to this. And when you know that, and that's why I'm glad you wrote this book, you cannot deny that what we have is rooted in biblical principles. There's just no getting around it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And even if you take the more liberal founding fathers amongst them, such as Ben Franklin or Thomas Jefferson, real fast. Ben Franklin, as you well know, called for prayer at the Constitutional Convention, June 28th, 1787, made this long, impassioned plea. He quoted scripture in this, and he basically said, we're not going to succeed if we don't call on God. And they did adopt a variation of his request.
Yeah.
They did have a prayer service together at a local Christian church a few days later on
Sunday
morning.
Don't you want to say, hey, Dr. Franklin, what kind of a deist are you calling for prayer? What is wrong with you?
Right.
But to a clockmaker God. We don't pray to him. But that's the point. It's like when I discovered this, I thought to myself, who are we kidding? These were all men who believed in prayer, believed in God, believed in the scriptures. There's just no getting around it.
That's absolutely correct. And if you take Thomas Jefferson, who's really, he's kind of like the patron saint of the ACLU, but they're misreading him.
Yeah.
Because Thomas Jefferson, for example, in 1777, a year after he wrote the Declaration of Independence, the first draft of it, and the same year he adopted the or wrote the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, he actually wrote a subscription for the creation of a Christian church in Charlottesville. It was called the Calvinistical Reformed Church of Charlottesville. They called the Reverend Charles Clay, who was an evangelical minister in the ordained in the Anglican tradition, and he was very patriotic, Charles Clay was. And this, you know, this agreement for this creation of this church, Jefferson said, we're doing this because we're desirous of gospel knowledge. And in fact, I co-wrote a book with Mark Belisles, a pastor in Charlottesville, and he managed to get the some of the sermons of Charles Clay. And in our book, Doubting Thomas, we put in two of the appendices two of Charles Clay's sermons. And they've never been in print before. Nothing he's ever printed or preached was in print until this book a few years ago. And you read them, and it's like, it's totally gospel preaching. I mean, this is like, you know, it's unbelievable. Now, later, Jefferson, in fairness, did have some serious doubts about Christian, you know, some core Christian documents but or doctrines. But that was later in his life, and that was on a private basis. And certainly, he was not a lifelong skeptic. And he certainly didn't believe in the naked public square. In other words, get religion out of the public square.
Well, and also, I probably learned these things from David Barton. But, you know, the idea that they had church services in the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
What kind of separation of church and state is that? I mean, it's clear that what they meant by separation of church and state is dramatically different from the bastardized, inverted misunderstanding that we have today.
Well, just think about the fact that the founders, you know, gave us the chaplain system. Okay, and actually, they didn't create it. They inherited it, but they continued it. And you know, after establishing the United States of America, they hired chaplains at taxpayers' expense for the legislatures and for the military. This is something they believed
in. Well, and the idea that people would, you know, swear on the Bible in our courts, and that we have the Ten Commandments emblazoned in front of the Supreme Court, clearly, these were the guys who would have said, you can't do that.
That's
and in
right.
fact, they said, no, we must do that.
Just a few miles from this studio. Just a few miles from this studio is St. Paul's Chapel in New York City, you know, on Wall Street or nearby.
Yeah.
And what happened? Well, after George Washington was sworn in on the Holy Bible, April 30, 1789, he leaned over, he kissed the Holy Bible, then he gave the inauguration, his first inaugural address, which mentions God several times and says that we should be grateful to the Lord because he gave us independence. Then they went over to St. Paul's Chapel, and George Washington participated and led, and they had all the key leaders in the government, in the Supreme Court, in the House, the Senate, and his cabinet. And they had a two-hour Christian worship service, which included the Lord's Supper at St. Paul's Chapel, April 30, 1789. And as Dr. Kennedy once put it, referring to that worship service, he said, why, that's enough to give the ACLU apoplexy.
Well, I mean, this is the point, is that we've come to a strange pass in American history where since the 60s, the cultural elites have effectively whitewashed or airbrushed out these key things, and you really cannot do that. In other words, it's a dishonest reading of history.
Correct.
It may be what people want to do, or they may have difficulty with it. But I don't know how you get around all the things you have in this book, all the things that you put with Dr. Lilback in George Washington's Sacred Fire. There's so much evidence that there's almost nothing to discuss. The details are the more you look, the more you find.
Yeah, that's so true. And Yale University, to its credit, has something called the Avalon Project. And what they've done is they've taken a lot of the original charters and a lot of these different documents that we're talking about, and you can get them online through the Yale, you know, Avalon Project. And then also the Encyclopedia Britannica in the 1970s had about a 20-volume set of encyclopedias called the Annals of America. And the first three relate to what I'll call the settling and the founding era. And in those, you can find the Mayflower Compact, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, the Declaration of Independence, etc. And you can find all those, and you see God written all over the place.
Well, so what do we do, you know, apart from writing books like this? I mean, I think that sometimes you exist at a clarifying moment in culture where you realize things aren't working. Why aren't they working? And I think they're not working because we've forgotten God.
Exactly.
That suddenly you say that things ought to be working, but we're having problems in the culture. We're having suicide at unprecedented levels.
Yeah.
Why is that? And I would say, and I guess you would say as well, that we if you forget God, everything that we've had begins to fall apart. And we're seeing the fraying to the extent that we have to look back and see where did we go off the road, so to speak? You trace your steps back to see where did we screw up, because at some point we went wrong. We're going to be back talking to Jerry Newcomb. The book is American Amnesia. We'll continue this conversation. Stick around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The trade talks continue. President Trump meeting this afternoon with China's top trade negotiator. The president has slapped tariffs, meanwhile, on $250 billion in Chinese products. In retaliation, China has targeted $110 billion in American imports. President Trump threatening to slap tariffs on cars produced in Mexico. That's unless that country does more to stop migrants trying to enter the U.S. The first official report on the Ethiopian jetliner crash last March 10th says the crew followed the correct procedures to rescue the aircraft from a stall. That crash killed all 157 people on board. After its journey through bankruptcy, Sears getting ready to open its first batch of smaller stores. They won't carry clothing, but instead will focus on appliances and mattresses. This is SRN News.
Sight and Sound Theaters invites you to a special event coming to movie theaters nationwide for 3 days only.
Noah, I will cover the earth with a great flood.
A flood?
You must build an ark.
Come on board for one of the world's best-known voyages in this original stage production filmed in front of a live audience.
Lord, thank you. I couldn't have done any of this without you.
Noah, in movie theaters nationwide for 3 days only. For locations, visit noahevent.com.
Important bulletin regarding the secret tech stock that everyone is suddenly talking about. The tech stock is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America. Donald Trump himself called what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. And the company is collecting billions from the tech giants, including over $30 billion just from Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft. Yet here's the most intriguing part. This $3 stock trades under a secret name. Just go to onestockretirementnow.com to get the whole story.
Hi, I'm Grant Eckert from National Debt Relief. For years, you've heard us on the radio sharing how you can be debt-free in 24 to 48 months, often paying only a fraction of what you owe. But how does our program work? If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, personal loans, or collection accounts, you may qualify to get the relief you deserve in just 5 steps. Step 1. Our certified debt specialist will complete a free debt analysis. Step 2. You'll select the plan that's right for you. Step 3, you'll begin making one affordable monthly payment towards your enrolled debts. Step 4, our team of experts will negotiate with your creditors. And step 5, you'll achieve financial relief. We've already helped over 100,000 Americans resolve more than $1 billion of debt. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have received over 35,000 five-star reviews. The best part is we don't earn a penny until we've successfully resolved your debt.
Call National Debt Relief now at 800-658-0988. That's 800-658-0988. 800-658-0988.
Snow. Cement. And ivory on top.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to Jerry Newcomb about his new book, American Amnesia is America, Paying the Price for Forgetting God, the Source of Our Liberty. There are people who would really argue strongly that God is the source of our liberty. What do those people say is the source of our liberty? Do they have a plausible argument, even if we would disagree with it?
You mean they argue against the idea that God is the source of our liberty?
Yeah, in other words, if God is not the source of our liberty, what do, let's say, libertarians or modern-day liberals say is the source of our liberty?
I think, first of all, one of the things that they would say is they would say, look, the founding fathers were men of enlightenment. They'd say, okay, we'll agree with you, the settlers, like the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers and so forth. Okay, we'll agree that they were Christian.
Right.
But by the time you get to 1776 and 1787, these are all men of the enlightenment.
Yeah.
And here's my response to that. There are two separate wings of the enlightenment. Mm-hmm. In fact, the late Michael Novak wrote about this. Yeah. In fact, he even wrote a book called On Two Wings. And the idea is, on the one hand, you have Voltaire, Rousseau, Diderot, and David Hume. No question these are atheists or non-believers. But the Enlightenment thinkers, if we want to call them that, that the founding fathers thought were very special, and they quoted from them more, far more than these other men, are Montesquieu, John Locke, and Sir William Blackstone. And these are definitely Christian people. And you read their writings, and you can see that the Bible plays a huge role in their writings. I know a fellow who went to Yale. He earned his PhD at Yale and became a born-again Christian at Yale while doing his PhD, because his PhD was on John Locke. And reading John Locke's book, The Reasonableness of Christianity, ended up leading him to Jesus Christ, to faith in Jesus Christ. And here, John Locke was quoted by the founding fathers with great respect.
Now, can you give out this Yale PhD's name?
Sure, Dr. Greg Forster, F-O-R-S.
I was going to say that's so fascinating. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, he used to teach a Sunday school class at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I got my dad to go with me sometimes. He says, oh, we're going to hear Yaley speak again.
Yeah, well, as somebody who went to Yale, I can tell you it's not a place of great faith. Although, as we know, and again, this is the great irony, it once was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you read about Yale in the 18th century, my goodness.
Yeah. And it was founded as such.
Well, no, there's no question. So this is the point, is that all of these institutions, except for Cornell, all the Ivy Leagues were founded as explicitly Christian.
Right.
And we know that almost all of the original settlers had a view that is not – what's interesting is it's not just about liberty being derived from God. I mean, that's one piece of it. But then the other piece is they wanted to propagate the gospel.
Yeah.
They wanted to, you know, when Winthrop is talking about a city set on a hill, they wanted people to look at them as a model of Christian community.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is, we know that story, at least you and I do, and many people don't. But what about, you know, when you're talking about the atheists, Voltaire and Diderot, I mean, where do we look to see what followed from their vision? I mean, France and their revolution ended in a monstrous bloodbath.
This is exactly right. In fact, let's go back to that point about the two wings, okay, the different types of Enlightenment thinkers, the believing kind and the unbelieving kind. The ones who followed in the trail of the thinking of Voltaire and Rousseau and Diderot, they ended up giving us the French Revolution. And 1789, beginning in July 14th, the Bastille Day. And what ended up happening? It caused rivers of blood to flow in the streets, and eventually the revolutionaries consumed the revolutionaries. So one day, Robespierre, the master terrorist, ends up himself getting killed by the revolution. In contrast to that, you have the American Revolution, if you want to call it that. I prefer the term or the phrase American War for Independence, because that's really what it was. But that said that our rights come from God. So basically, the American Revolution is pro-God, The French Revolution is anti-God.
And when you say anti-God,
I mean anti-God.
Yeah, you don't mean they just ignored God. They were explicitly anti-God, anti-clerical. And I think that the most dramatic example in my mind of that is how they wanted to rebel against God in every way possible, including, and this is to me the killer, that we never really think much about the 7-day week, okay? But of course, that comes right out of Genesis, the 7-day week. And since, you know, forever, we have had the rhythms of 7-day weeks. They so hated God that they invented 10-day weeks. They wanted everything to be established on the principles of science. And according to science, you got to laugh, right? According to science, 10 is more scientific than 7, as if you could, you know, just pick a number. And they determined that we're going to redo all of reality. And not only did it fall apart, but it ends in something kind of that really reminds you of the Russian Revolution. I mean, it's pure bloodbath. Yeah. It is people killing other people, a will to power. It's the ugliest thing, which of course leads us to Tocqueville in the 1820s being sent by the France of that time to say, where did America go right? How did they succeed?
And what's the answer? The answer is de Tocqueville noticed all this Christianity on a voluntary basis, and he said, in France, I saw that religion and liberty were enemies, but in America, religion and liberty were friends. And so there's a huge difference between those.
It is amazing. I just, you know, talking to you is just a general reminder to my audience, to all of us, we need to know history. If you know history, you can't go wrong. If you don't know history, you will go wrong. We'll be right back with Jerry Newcomb, the author of American Amnesia. Stick around. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. Alvin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is—it's very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe, and within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people, so check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
For high school students who want to make the very most of their summer, there's the Summer Academy at the King's College, a premier Christian liberal arts college in New York City. This summer, join dozens of inquisitive high schoolers to study the ideas that shape civilizations. Choose from tracks like journalism, philosophy, economics, leadership, and visual storytelling, all taught from a biblical worldview. Learn more at tkc.edu/summeracademy. That's tkc.edu/summeracademy.
Sight and Sound Theaters invites you to a special event. Coming to movie theaters nationwide for 3 days only.
Noah, I will cover the earth with a great flood.
A flood?
You must build an ark.
Come on board for one of the world's best known voyages in this original stage production filmed in front of a live audience.
Lord, thank you. I couldn't have done any of this without you.
Noah, in movie theaters nationwide for 3 days only. For locations, visit noahevent.com.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas for Americans for Freedom of Religion. Look, I am blessed to have a platform where I can be authentic and open about who I am and what I believe. But too many public school students who want to peacefully pray, read the Bible, and share about their faith are silenced, embarrassed, and even disciplined by teachers and administrators. AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org teaches students of all faiths that they're protected while living out their faith in their public school. You'll find the Department of Education's clear guidelines on AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org. No student should have to apologize for being true to their values that you as parents worked so hard to instill in them. If you're a concerned Christian parent, please contact us so we can tell you how to get involved locally. You can volunteer, you can pray, and you can donate to keep our nonprofit
nonprofit mission moving forward. Visit AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org to learn more. We need your partnership to achieve our goals. What's happening in our public schools to Christian students can be changed, and we're asking for your help.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt, and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Used to laugh, used to cry, used to bow our heads then, wonder why.
I think that's America. Is that America? Of course, it's very appropriate. We don't play music to go along with the subject. It's just kind of on a random loop. But I believe that God ordained that. Your book is American Amnesia. We're talking about the source of our liberty, God, and how that's just inevitable if you look at the history. But again, we're living at a time where people are very upset about that. They think it means things that it doesn't. But I just keep saying there's no getting around it. You have to figure out how to deal with it. What caused you to write this book? Did you write a column on this subject and decide to collect the columns, or how did that work?
Yeah, I write columns every week, and this is actually a collection of those essays. And I put them all together related to the issue of part one, our Christian roots as a nation, part two, our role as active citizens and Christians and citizens of goodwill. And then part three is the issue of church and state in the face of the militant secularism that we're dealing with. So this is actually more than 115 columns. And probably the hardest part of the book, afresh, was putting together the index, because I wanted to make sure, you know, if you're reading the book and you're like, oh, where's that great quote from Mark Twain? Oh, yeah, here it is. You know?
Yeah.
Because,
well, how wonderful.
Know. Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, it's... I agree with you about history, and, you know, it's a cliche, but those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. There's a quote from Steve Turner, a British poet, who said, history repeats itself. It has to. No one is listening.
I think it's, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I know Steve Turner. I would like to take credit for that quote. No, that is so beautiful. That is beautiful. Let me ask you just a little bit about your story. How did you? Where did you grow up, and when did you begin to take faith seriously in your life?
Well, I grew up in a more traditional church-type background and was not in any way opposed to Christianity and so forth. And when I was a freshman at Tulane University, I got involved with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and came to a better and a deeper understanding and accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. That was when I was a freshman.
So it was in college.
In college. And then I studied history, which I've always been interested in history. Even when I was just – because you're very interested in history. When I was like in the 12 years old, 7th grade, something like that, I joined the Winnetka Historical Society. It's a little suburb of north of Chicago. And I was literally like this little kid with people who were in their 80s. And then I came back to my little brother and I said, John, did you know in the late 1800s, Winnetka was called the murder town? And, you know, it was fascinating history, but I've always been interested in history. And then when I started working for Dr. Kennedy in the mid 80s, that's when I really started to come to understand the Christian roots of America and interviewed David Barton, whom you've mentioned, and Paul Jaley of Plymouth, Massachusetts, and, you know, just all kinds of different historians that know about our Christian roots. And the more you dig, the further it goes. You know Bill Federer, right?
I think, sure. Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he is fantastic. He's the one who first told me about the Annals of America.
Oh, no, he cracks me up. He's like, I think, like, are you part robot? Because he's got facts like I've never seen a human being.
I know.
Yeah, we've had him on the show a number of times. I think that homeschoolers are going to take over the world because they're the ones reading things like this and learning these kinds of things. And again, facts are facts. You can't get around it.
That's
mean, when
exactly
you talk
right.
about the religious liberty, even here in Flushing, New York, not far from here, there was a document early in the 17th century that's a landmark document of religious liberty. It's just inescapable, the idea of faith, but then free faith, not like in Europe where they forced you to be, you have to be a Calvinist or you have to be a Catholic or you have to be Church of England, whatever, but complete freedom. So that really it was a belief in the free market of ideas.
Right.
It's just fascinating
exactly.
to me. And you get just as many people who they make an idol of the free market. They think, well, the free market, that's it. If we have a free market, but There's this other piece to it, that faith and virtue are inescapable. You can't just have a free market.
Exactly right.
I'm so glad you've written about this. Now, are there any stories in this book that you'd like to tell?
Well, I want to mention a little bit more about Thomas Jefferson,
if I
might. Because Jefferson, along these lines of the free market, Jefferson felt that it was wrong for, once we became a country, that he still saw that the church, the Anglican church, was by law established in Virginia. So he wrote something called the Virginia Statute for Religious Liberty.
It's on his gravestone that he's the author of that.
Yeah, exactly. He was very proud of that. And he should be. And the idea of it was that since God Almighty has created the mind free, it's not up to the state to determine what your religious views are. And he said that is a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion, which means Jesus Christ. It could be no other person than that, who was Lord both of body and mind, and yet chose reason and not force by which, you know, to
get the word out. And this, is the, good, this
out.
Is the good part of the Enlightenment, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is where the Enlightenment encourages Christians to be more Christian and to see that the root of Christianity is that kind of liberty and not coerce some kind of theocracy or something like that.
And in fact, that's I'm glad you brought up that word theocracy, because we get accused of trying to impose a, you know, Ayatollah type theocracy.
Yeah.
And that's really not true at all.
It's only true of Mike Pence. That guy, that guy is a theocrat.
Hey, I've got a column.
Gosh.
I've got a column in this.
Yeah. But isn't it
Mike
funny?
Mike Pence in his own words.
We have so much freedom that people demonize gentle souls like Mike Pence. I mean, it's comical that we've gotten so much freedom that we have no idea what theocracy would even look like.
No, that's so true. And the fact of the matter is that the Christian framework is what gives us this freedom to agree or even to disagree, even to the freedom to even, I don't want to say this, but even the freedom to blaspheme be sacrilegious.
But that's exactly right. That's the whole point. Religious liberty means you are free to be an atheist, to be a God hater, to be a Christian, to be a Muslim. It is true freedom. It's amazing.
The atheists want to impose on us freedom from religion. But what the founders gave us was freedom of religion.
Right.
And freedom of religion allows freedom for all, even if you disagree. Freedom from religion says, no, you have to follow this path. And it's almost in the same vein as like the Soviet Union. You cannot believe these things.
We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back talking to Jerry Newcomb. The book is American Amnesia. Stick around.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me, and yet too embarrassed to ask for help. And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is accusing Democrats of weaponizing the IRS to go after President Trump.
McCarthy responding to a request from the Ways and Means Committee for copies of the president's tax returns.
Not only is it a waste of time, it sets a dangerous standard of having the federal government used as a political weapon.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the tax code requires the Treasury Department to comply.
The secretary shall furnish, shall, not may, should, could, shall, or furnish such committee with any return or return information specified in such request.
The committee has formally requested 6 years' worth of the president's returns.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 166 points. The NASDAQ is down 8. This is SRN News.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Lowe's knows you'll do spring right by saving on everything you need to get your garden growing. We do it right, too, with incredible deals to help you save during our spring Black Friday sale, like Bonnie vegetable and herb plants, 4 for $10. And for a clean-looking landscape, pick up 5 bags of Scott's mulch for just $10. Whatever's on your spring to-do list, hurry in and save during our spring Black Friday sale. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 4/17, not valid in Alaska or Hawaii. Bonnie offer valid on 19-ounce pots. See store for details. U.S. only.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to Jerry Newcomb, the author of American Amnesia. We just have a few minutes left. So you want to talk about Norway and the Nazis.
Well, my wife is from Norway.
Okay.
And I've been there 13 times. We were married there. And one of my favorite museums in the whole world, and that says a lot, is the Resistance Museum in Oslo, Norway. And they have a sign there, very close actually to the picture of Vidkun Quisling, and who was the...
pronounce it Quisling?
Quisling, mm-hmm.
And I've always thought it was Quisling.
Well,
actually in America we say Quisling. Go ahead, sorry.
It's all right. And so anyway, the sign says, and it's in the book actually, it says something to the effect that Norway was able to resist because of the Christian commitment on the part of the people. And the people, the Norwegian people, resisted against the Nazis. See, here, Hitler thought, this is a Nordic country. These are pure Aryans. They're going to go along with my program.
Right.
His program, of course, to create this master race, all Darwinian evolution taken to this weird degree.
Yeah.
And a weird angle. And bottom line is, the Norwegians said, no, we're not going to do that. And the Norwegian Christians resisted in peaceful ways and, in a few cases, violent ways. But they provide good models for
Because I wrote my book on Bonhoeffer, I happen to know that Bonhoeffer was trying to get the German Christians to follow the brave model of one of the bishops in Norway who stood up heroically because of his Christian faith against the Nazis. And Bonhoeffer was trying to get the German Christian leaders to follow that lead. Obviously, he failed, and Germany's been paying the price for 8 decades.
Well, it's interesting you bring this up because it wasn't just one bishop. It was several bishops. They all said, look, the Nazis now haven't taken over. They're going to force us what we're going to say or not say in the churches. we don't agree with that. If we resign en masse, what can they do to us? Well, they send them to concentration camps. The teachers said the same things. I've seen in that museum, they have this Romans 13 translated by the Nazis. The Nazis using Romans 13. I've got it in there, the American or the English quotation, or the translation. They're using Romans 13 to try and force these little Norwegians to obey the government, because the government was established by God and that government was Hitler's government.
Yeah, and of course the Nazis were even trying to pretend that Luther agreed with them and that the state has ultimate authority, which is nonsense. It's a misreading of Luther. It's a misreading of Scripture. It's a misreading of Paul. But it's amazing. And then, of course, you wonder how, after having been so heroic, can Norway have become in these decades so secular compared to the United States?
Yes, and but I will say that there are pockets, just like the Lord is always on the move. You know, Aslan is on the move, sometimes in ways you don't realize. There was even a Norwegian Billy Graham of sorts. He died a few years ago, but I actually got to do some freelance work with him.
So there is
wonderful. There is some ways in which God
well,
is
I've
working.
Spoken in Oslo. They translated the Bonhoeffer book into Norwegian,
super.
And so I have to say that I did meet some Christians there, but I don't know much more than that. We're basically out of time, Jerry. It's a joy to be with you. I hope if people want to find you, is there a website that where they can find you?
Sure, jerrynewcomb.com.
What could be simpler? Jerry Newcomb, okay, and that's N-E-W-C-O-M-B-E. Can't forget the E. Jerry Newcomb, C-O-M-B-E.com. Terrific.
Thank you. And in fact, right at the top banner, I've got a little piece about the book, American Amnesia.
Okay, wonderful. My pleasure to have you. Jerry Newcomb, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Eric. My pleasure,
folks,
too.
Folks, the book is American Amnesia. Do not forget to get a copy.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.